for us? We just have a simple lesson today. Something the Lord gave me some time ago. But we want to share it with you. I feel that it would be beneficial to every one of us. Let's turn to Luke, the 6th chapter, 46th verse. Start reading. Luke 6, verse 46.
Why call ye me,
Lord, Lord,
Lord,
and you don't do what I tell you to do? Do you know people like that today? Oh, they had a real good service and whatnot in church, or they are Christians today, but they call me Lord, Lord, and they don't do what I say. So the Lord is saying, why are you doing this? Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me,
and heareth my
sayings, and he does them. He do what I say.
I will show you
to whom he is like.
He is like a man
who built a house
and he dig deep.
And he laid the foundation on a rock.
And when the floods arose,
the stream beat vehemently upon that house
and could not shake it,
for it was founded upon a rock.
But he that heareth
and do it not,
is like a man
that without a foundation
built an house
upon the earth,
against
which the stream did beat
vehemently,
and immediately
it fell,
and the ruin
of that house
was great. So it
shows two
individuals here.
Here's a man that
listens to what the Lord
tells him to do,
and he says, I'm going
to tell you what that man is
like. So it seems like it's
very simple
to be saved
and to stay saved.
First of all, he
brings out the situation
that, why are you
calling me Lord, Lord,
and you're not doing what
I tell you to do?
I'm giving you
very simple instruction,
and all of us that
are parents, or
all of us that have had
somebody
under us
in some kind of way
we have authority over
them, we give them instruction,
and that person
doesn't follow the instruction.
It's
grievous.
It has an
effect on you, doesn't it?
And so
we want, when
we give instruction to
somebody and we
realize that that's good
instruction and we can look
at it from an objective
standpoint
and we can say that
the instruction
that I gave you
is good, solid instruction.
Now, it may be difficult
for you to do,
and all of us have been
in situations where
there has been some
instruction that's been given
to us and we just
didn't want to do it.
I can say
very clearly in
my own experience,
there have been many
times when I was
a child, my
parents told me things
and I just didn't think they
knew what they were talking about.
And then
there were times when I
was under the tutelage
or under the authority
of a pastor,
and they told me
some things that I just
didn't think they knew what
they were talking about.
And I may say
that privately. I may
not say that to their
face,
but I don't know if he
really understood my
problem, we say.
I don't know if they
understood really
what I was going through.
But do you know, why
does the Lord give pastors?
He gives us
pastors
because that's the way
he set it up.
And so he
gives us not only pastors,
but counselors and
people
that help us in
places
that
we make safe,
clear
spiritual decisions.
And so our
responsibility is,
Lord, I'm
going to pray for that
person that you
would have me to go to.
It says,
well, the scripture says
very plainly, obey them
that have rule over thee.
Why? Because
they watch for your soul.
And we've got to
give an account of that.
So we don't
give out
instruction
lightly.
It's not just
something off the top of our
heads. Most of the time,
I believe
you can say this to anybody
that has given any kind of spiritual
counsel over
the years. One of the
things that we do while
you're talking to us
is pray, Lord,
I don't know what to say.
Lord, give me
the words. Put the
words in my mouth.
Help me to be
able to give something
that means something
to this person.
And so
what happens is,
when
the Lord does that,
our responsibility
is,
this is
as unto the Lord,
as from
the Lord. Let's put
it that way.
This is something
that is as
from the Lord.
Our responsibility
is to do
it as though
the Lord spoke it
with his own lips.
Well, the Lord tell me,
I'm going to do it.
But if somebody else tell me,
I don't have to do what anybody
else says.
Well,
to some degree,
I mean, that's not
accurate.
The
Lord has given
somebody's
telling us something all the
time, aren't they?
There's
somebody in authority
over us,
no matter,
I'm a man,
I'm the man of my house,
but there are
those that have authority
over me.
If I drive down the
freeway
at 80 miles an hour
and it says 55,
there's somebody
that has authority
to stop me
and
to do
whatever the law
says that
he can do,
or he or she,
I've had some
women officers that have that authority,
that they can do
whatever they feel to do
to get me to comply. Right? All right. So, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, they hear what I say when I speak through my servants. They hear what I say when I speak through my word. They hear what I say when I speak directly to them. And do them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. All right? So there is a foundation that we have to do. And part of laying that foundation, one of the things that you see, whether it's back in the old days, they used to have brick by brick, block by block, that they laid the foundation, and it was layers. Nowadays, they put up forms, and they pour concrete down between the forms, but it's still layer upon layer that in order to build that foundation. And one of the things that they make certain is that foundation is on solid ground. All right. Now you get these big skyscrapers, and that's going to stand the earthquakes and hurricanes and whatnot. Those are not just built 12 inches under the ground. They're not just 3 feet under the ground, or 4 feet, or 5 feet. They go all the way down to bedrock. And you see, when you see a construction that's going up, you can just about tell how tall the building is by going and looking in the hole, how deep the foundation goes. And so, in the same way, we as people of God. All of us, every single one of us, in order to stand the test of times, we've got to dig down. We've got to dig all the way down, and we've got, what is the rock? Christ is the rock. Well, what does that mean in practical terms? It means in practical terms that I believe, as the sister said, and I believe this with all of my heart, I believe that we have been blessed to be among the people of God that are the true people of God. And people of God, people that are not trying to get by the easy way, you know, I want to get to heaven the easiest way I can. I do. And I believe every one of us do. We don't want to go the hard way. And I've learned over the years of being saved, the easiest way to get to heaven is to stay saved when the Lord gets saved and stay saved. That's an easy way. Now, I'm not going to say it's not going to be some difficulty, because what this shows us is that the floods came. And they beat vehemently up on that house with force. And as though they were trying to shake it, but they couldn't. Isn't that wonderful? All right, now if I'm saved, I'm going to have problems. I'm going to have some tests. I'm going to have some floods. I'm going to have some things that come my way, and they're going to try to shake me off of my foundation. What we have to make certain of, what we have to do is make certain we go hit, you know how the old folks used to say, hit the rock? We hit the rock. Well, we heard a message, lesson about that not too terribly long ago, hitting the rock. So make certain that we hit what it is that's going to take us through the test of time. Now it says here also, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Against which the streams did. Now both of them, one was the easy way and one was the difficult way. And we see this all down through the parables that Jesus presented. One of the parables was the parable of the 10 virgins. They were all going to the same place. They were virgins. They were pure. They were saved people. But one chose the easy route and one said, you know what, it's not going to be that much more difficult for me to do this, to take a little extra oil in my lamp. I'm going to do that just in case. So these folks took it, and it was just half of them were, five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. The wise, now this is why I've said this before, and I preached it before, and I want to just reiterate it now. This is why we have to understand that folks that say, well, I'm just as saved as you are, it's true, they're saved. You can't say that they're not. Maybe they're not, maybe you have some convictions that they don't have, and it's not for me to force my convictions on somebody else. It's for me to live up to what God has told me. Now, one thing, he told me to do this, he may not have told you yet. And I don't know if it's up to him whether or not he ever tells you on some things, and there's some things that are not just sinful. All right? But here it is that the Lord has told me, and when I heard it and I understood that that was the voice of the Lord, I didn't try to find a justification not to do it. My purpose
And my aim in life was, Lord, if this is what I understand you to do, then I'm going to do it. Now, what folks want to say nowadays, well, that's just what the saints teach. Well, why do the saints teach it? The saints teach it because it's in the Bible, or it's just some old tradition or some old doctrine. Lord, help us to understand. It doesn't matter. What matters is the Lord can show you, and you search it out in the Scriptures, and the Lord can show you. You dig down into the Word of God, and you find out whether or not this is something that would be in my best interest to do or not to do. And I guarantee you what the saints teach, if you study it out, and if you dig down deep, and you find the essence of the principle behind it, it'd behoove you to do it. It can't hurt. Oh, they teach you should take a little extra oil. Do this, the five wise virgins. Take a little extra oil. Well, it's not necessary to take a little extra oil. My lamp is good and my lamp is burning. Absolutely. But how long will it burn? And if you need a little more at some point in the future, do you have that to be able to get you all the way through? They got almost all the way to the door. But they slumbered and slept, and when the bridegroom came and they heard the call, they looked at their lamp and it had been flickering all the while that they were asleep. And if they had just taken just this much oil, they could have poured enough in there to be able to get all the way to the door. So here they are, being resourceful as they are, we're going to go as light as we can. And when we get here, oh, well, you got a little extra. Give me a little. No, I'm not going to give you none of my oil. You had the same opportunities that I had. I need to make certain that I can get all the way to the end like I need to. So I'm not going to give you what the Lord told me to keep. Now, is that being selfish? No, that's taking care of you. The only person that's going to stand with you in the judgment is you. That's my understanding. And so, Lord, when I'm standing there, I got just enough oil in my lamp, and I got a little bit here. And, Lord, I want to make certain that I got enough to meet you in peace. All right? So we have this kind of a person that maybe will cut a corner and won't do everything that they know to do, and it's not completely wrong, and it's not going to really do a lot against them. Hear what I'm saying? Lord, help us. So, dig deep. Because it says here, and but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. He just built his house. It was probably a pretty house too. Build the same house with a foundation as without one. But the point is, how long is it going to last? All right? Against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So, we see that these two individuals, one has obeyed the Word of God, and one has not completely obeyed the Word of God and kind of disregarded it in some kind of way, but they have the same kind of problems. Mother Nature, so to speak. And one stood and one did. Now, let's talk for a moment. What is the practical side of this? What does it mean to us when we talk about it in a spiritual way? We've all had some experiences, Sister Ava.
I was thinking about when you made you were talking about the wise, the foolish acts of the wise.
Yes.
Of oil. And I was thinking about the situation I just recently gone through where the Lord was telling me you be the influence on them.
Yes.
And otherwise, you're going to be draining your oil.
Yes.
And that just came to me when you were mentioning that. I was like, wow. So had I not, he's not gotten me right.
Yes. Yes. All right, that's a good point. And what we have to understand is the Lord, He didn't say that He's going to take us out of the world. He said He's going to keep us from the evil that is in the world. So our responsibility is to be the example to those that are around us. Make certain that we're the examples and that we're the influence. We're the positive influence and them not influencing us. Any other way that thoughts? I want to deal with the practical side of this. When we say dig, what does that mean? What does that mean? I understand what it means when we get out here. And what is that?
Purge yourself. Okay, that's good. Purge yourself. And I understand. We understand what it means to go and dig a foundation. We watched this foundation, and part of the foundation is that they dug piers that were several feet into the ground. I don't know, maybe 15 feet into the ground. And this building is setting on piers because the ground moves. And so that's a good thing, isn't it? But in order to get that, there's something had to come out, right?
Yeah.
Something had to come out in order for something to go in.
Yeah.
All right, so the brother brings out purge. How do we do that? Well, don't get shy on me. All right? Yes.
We live in the White Rock area.
Mm-hmm.
That whole slab, that whole area of that house was White Rock, and they had to stop. They had to stop the process because they were just putting in foundation. But when they got to that house, they had to go get extra equipment. They had to take time, and they went on to some other ones, and they came back to that house. They laid the plumbing within rock.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And some more, because it was founded upon a rock, and they took the time and did that foundation the way it should have been, and it'll work.
Yes. Won't move if the rock won't move. The Lord won't move, will He? So we thank the Lord for that. Any other thoughts on that? All right, I think it was some good points that were brought out. So, we've got to, it says that, and there's another scripture. Let's see. 7th chapter of Matthew is the same situation, the same parable. And I want to read that too along with this. It says, 24th verse, if you have it, just read it for us.
7 and 24.
Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which has built his house upon. This is the place he's got to live. Do you understand? This is the place that we've got to live. What we do now affects where we live in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
How well we present ourselves to the Lord, and how well we obey the Lord affects our house, our eternal house. Not just our spiritual house here, but our spiritual house over there. So it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, what we have to understand is that the same thing happened to both brothers, both men, the wise man and the foolish man. The same thing happened to the virgins, the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. So there is a classification that the Lord has in His Word about
people that start out for him. One of the classifications is a wise individual that does what he knows he's supposed to do, and a foolish person that doesn't. He knows to do it, but he doesn't do it. And so what we want to do is fall into the category of being a wise man. Lord, help me to be able to get what I need. Do what I need to do, when I need to do it. Lord, teach me that. And the Lord has to teach it. And I want to say this because it's our responsibility to develop the relationship that we have with the Lord. It's our responsibility. It's not the responsibility of your pastor to make certain that you have, Tyler, you have a good relationship with the Lord. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to give you the tools to equip you to have that relationship with the Lord, right? It is my responsibility to make certain that I encourage you. You get to know God for yourself. You don't get to know Him. I'm not the Pope. You don't come and make your confessions to me. If you're down at an altar and you're confessing, you're not confessing to me. You're confessing to the Lord. And He says, if you confess and you forsake, now sometimes the Lord requires us as people of God to confess our faults one to another, pray one for another. It's not just to say, well, this is what's wrong with me. It is, listen, the Lord has dealt with me. The Lord's talked to me about a character defect, something about me that is just not, it's not working. It's not something that the Lord wants me to continue on in. And so I need you, this is what it is, and I need you to pray for me. And I need you to help me to get through it. Sometimes we need to get it outside of ourselves. Sometimes we need to speak it. Have you ever heard something that you spoke and it sounded different after you spoke it? You know, there's power in the spoken word. There's power in it. The spoken word, I'm talking about the words that we speak as well as the Word of God. When we speak the Word of God out to the devil, it stops him. We can say, the Lord rebuke thee, that's the Word of God, and that stops the devil in his tracks. So there is something powerful about the spoken word. There's something powerful about words that I speak as we're preaching here. The words of God that are going forth, there is power in those words. There's power to convict. There's power. There's anointing that goes along with what God requires and desire, and what is said in the pulpit. All right. Not only that, but there are power in words. So somebody can say something. Have you, somebody ever said something that hurt your feelings or made you angry or made you sad? They spoke it, and so there's power there. All right. So we have to understand that there is power in this spoken word. When we use the Word of God, we can make the devil stand back. When we are discouraged, and this is part of us digging deep, when there comes discouragement, and there will come discouragement, there will be times that things are going along just well, and then all of a sudden you hit a pothole. Do you know, speak the Word of God. Find something in the Word of God and say, and speak that Word, and the power of that Word, the Lord will help you to stand in the storm. All right? This is why it's important for us. I say oftentimes, it's important for us to read a portion of God's Word every day. And you know, it's something that I wish I had done now, and I'm going to say this to the young people, commit as much. I'm old now. I'm getting old now. And I wish I had committed, I had taken a more of a, to commit to memory the Word of God. This is powerful. There's power. What does it say? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword? It's power in the Word of God. And so if we can commit that Word to memory, as much of it as we can, while you got your brain is young, that helps you to dig down. That helps you to obey the Word that, because you know it. You're obeying something that you know. How many times that we, you know, I told somebody, we were in Oklahoma, and somebody had gotten a ticket in a certain place, and it was supposed to be 30 miles an hour, and there was no sign. So they fought it, and they put a sign up there saying 30 miles an hour. And so every time they pass by that place, they say, there's my sign. There's my sign. I put that sign up there because they were giving me a ticket on something that I didn't know. All right? And so sometimes we plead ignorance on certain things because we didn't know. So we can plead ignorance,
And that's all right under some circumstances, but some circumstances the devil takes advantage. We don't need to be ignorant concerning his devices. And the scripture says, and Hosea says, that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They don't have an understanding. So there are some times that we need, Lord, help me to know what your word says so that I can do it. And because the word of God protects us. And what I want to encourage us to do tonight is the word of God protects us. What we have been taught, what the saints have taught, there is a protection in it. There is something that protects us from a lot of, there are a lot of things I didn't get involved in because of what we were taught. And now folks are wanting to turn it and twist it and make it where it's all wrong. You don't have to do all that. Well, you may not have to do some of it. But when the Lord has, and I'll share this with you. I believe in living where you are, right? If the old time saint, if you're not where the old time saints are, I believe the Lord expects you to live holy. And right. Live to the level that you understand. Don't try to run faster than what your legs can take you. Don't try to be, you know how children dress up. Sometimes we get, as children we dress up and we want to play like we're grown. We're not grown. The scripture says very plainly, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to grow. There is a growth process that we must go through in order to get where the Lord wants us to be. All right, so I am very keen on being where you are. But one of the things that I feel like is very necessary is for us to be able to be in a position, Lord, help me to know where you want me to be. And I want to go there. That's where I want to go. Because I realize that's the safest place for me. I've learned that over the years. It's the safest place for me is to be where the Lord wants me to be. All right. Now, there are a few other things. You know, one of the things... It was very sad. You heard about the sinkhole that happened in Florida. I'm sure all of you heard about that, right? Under somebody's house. And just hit the bedroom. And the man fell into the sinkhole. And I've seen other sinkholes on the computer and whatnot. Other sinkholes and whatnot. But suppose there was a rock. That's what it's like when you don't do what the Lord tells you to do. The devil is going to whittle away at the bottom. And he's going to dig out. You're not going to be able to see it for a long time. How long was it? How old was it? I don't know. But it wasn't built yesterday. But what the enemy can do is he goes underneath. He always tries to hide. And he digs out from underneath. If he can get there. If he knows that you haven't done the things that you knew to do, he can go under there and he can dig out from under there. And it'll take years. It'll take years before you ever realize it and that... Something is not quite right. Something has shifted a little bit. And I see that happening too much in people's lives. That I can see that that there is something that's there's an adjustment. It seems like the enemy is going, before they know it, they're just going to be, everything's just going to sink. And you wonder what happened. What happened? Well, the enemy took advantage of your ignorance. Let's not do that. May the Lord help us. All right. Okay. Isaiah 28:16. Read it, please.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation.
A stone.
A tried stone.
A precious cornerstone.
A sure foundation.
He that believeth shall not make haste. I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone. This is not just a little stone that when a little pressure gets on it, it crushes and crumbles. This is a tried stone. It's been through some things. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One of the things that we want to do is make sure that our foundation is sure.
Yes.
All right? We don't want to just build upon something. And this... I want to just encourage you this way. I was going to express something to you. Of course, I was raised among the saints. I was raised in the truth. And I will say that because I believe it's true. But there are things I didn't always agree with. And I made up in my mind that I wasn't going to follow all that stuff. I didn't tell everybody that, but that's what I thought. You know, I'm going to probably just go to another church or do something like that. So folks act like people that stand here and preach this gospel, they act like we have never had temptations to do something different. We have. And this is early in my experience, probably in high school. Then I decided, you know, everybody gets to do what they want. Look at the Baptists. I had Catholic friends. They could drink, they could smoke, they could party, they could do whatever they wanted to do and then just go to the priest. I mean, that seemed like a pretty good deal. And still be called a Christian. And my Baptist friends, they was doing everything under the sun. And then going to school, going to church and singing in the choir. I knew all of this. Went to college, first year of college, and those are my days. And I joined a gospel choir. And, you know, just being social and all these kind of things. And I got to seeing and I knew these folks wasn't living right. You up here directing this choir and you was doing what? I knew that. And I had kind of determined before then that, you know what, I don't really have to do all that the saints have required. So, but then you know what the Lord did? The Lord talked, in my first year of college, the Lord talked to my heart and he said, I was in my dorm room and I probably told you the story. Bear with me again. I'll tell it to you again. And he gave me, I think, it's in Jeremiah that speaks about break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. And he went down the list and he literally talked to me. He sat there in that dorm room and he talked to me and he said, "This, if you decide to go this direction, this is what your end is going to be." And he began to lay down to me what my end would be. And he showed me people that I was much like my personality. Very much like. And he said, "You're going to end up like this, like this." And he showed me all of that. And I cried. And I think that that's when I hit the rock. Because I started digging and I started looking at myself. I started looking at the things, my purpose in life, what I wanted to become, what I wanted to do. And I started looking at what the Lord wanted me to. And I didn't want to do anything that the Lord wanted me to do. And it wasn't easy. And it was what ensued was one of the most difficult years of my life, really. And probably if one of the most difficult times of my life, because I completely had to change and make a complete adjustment, and I had to throw out all that I had built up. I was one of those people that knew exactly what I wanted to be when I was in the eighth or ninth grade. And everything that I did was on course, and I was on course to do that. But the Lord came and the Lord turned that all. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Because at some point you're going to come face to face with having, all of us have, maybe you already have, but maybe the Lord over the course of time will tell you you're going to have to dig and you have to throw some things out. You're going to have to make some major adjustments that are not that easy for you to make. And you're going to have to do that in order to continue on with me. Because I have a certain way that I want things to go. I have a certain way. This, your life is either going to be your life or it's going to be my life, the Lord says. You're going to either give it to me, or I'm going to let you do what you want to do. I'm going to take my hands off it. I'm going to let you go in this direction. I've already shown you what the end is going to be like. If you want to do that, you do it. But if you want to go my direction, then this is what I require. If you want to go to my heaven, this is what I'm going to require. And you're going to have to build a solid foundation that's not going to shift and it's not going to shake and it's not going to be any sinkholes. It's on a rock and you're going to have to stand there. You're going to have to dig down until you get it. And you know what? I began to dig at that particular point. Left that school, went to another one. And it was hard. But do you know what? I got through that and I've had no regrets since that time. My life, as I've told you before, is probably nothing like what I thought it would be, but I have no regrets. And do you know why? Because I made up in my mind, this is what I want. This is, and I remember one time, I won't be much longer, but I remember one time after I made that decision in my mind that, okay, Lord, I know your way is best. If human wisdom, a fairer way may seem to show, it's only that our earth and vision, the truth can never clearly know. I know if I go in that direction, and some of the folks that the Lord showed me were my relatives, and I was just like them. All right? And I remember writing on a piece of paper things that I didn't quite see that the church did, and I didn't quite agree with it, and didn't quite understand it, and I just wrote it all down, And I folded it up and put it in my wallet. And these were questions that were in my mind. I folded it up and put it in my wallet. And I asked the Lord, Lord, please answer those questions for me. Give me a settledness about it. And do you know, one by one, it didn't happen in the next 6 months. I think I carried that piece of paper. I don't know that I looked at it very much, but I carried that piece of paper in my wallet for a few years. And the Lord would give me a conviction on this, and then He'd give me a conviction on that, and then He'd give me an understanding on this, and then He'd give me an understanding on... And all the questions, I don't even remember what they are now, but all of those questions were answered so completely to my satisfaction. And that's why when people come to me and say, well, Brother Darrell, why do you believe this, that the church is this and the church... I don't hear that. You know why I don't hear it? Because I know what the Lord told me. I know what He showed me. I know what He gave me. And I know what it cost me. Maybe it didn't cost them very much, and maybe they didn't get it very deeply, but this is right. And it's not but just because that's the way you were taught and you're not going to leave. Oh, anybody that knows me, I'm a very ambitious and adventurous person. I will venture out in another direction in a heartbeat. That's my natural tendency. My natural disposition. So it's not that I was afraid of doing something different. It is that the Lord clearly showed me and convicted me that what you're preaching and what you're standing for is right. Don't move. And then He reiterated over the years. Over the years, He's reiterated time and time again what He gave me. I've told you this too as well. He gave me, when He called me to the ministry, the next most difficult consecration that I had to make was was being in the ministry. And when He gave me that, He said, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then He said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in it. By doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That means all people are not going to hear you. But that means that I'm not going to make an adjustment just so people like me or just so people, I'll win people. I'm not going to do that. What I had to do, what you have to do, to be able to stand against some of the things that are coming our way now. Some of the questions that are in people's minds. And some of the things where people are saying certain things. You've got to have your own foundation that you're not going to be shaken by this. You've got to be founded so deeply on the rock. And it's you. It's what folks want to say. They want to turn and they want to make it the church. No, this is personal. This is you. You have to do it because the church is not going to stand, all of us standing together before God and vouching for that person. We can't do that. My foundation is my foundation. Your foundation is yours. You're going to have to stand before God for yourself. You need to know it not because Brother Darrell taught it or Sister Beverly taught it or Brother Williams or old Brother Chandler taught it. You're going to have to know it because the Lord showed it to me and I heard His word. I dug down. I hit the rock and I'm standing even in the midst of the storm. We're in a place of a storm right now in the church today. Because there are a lot of folks that are wanting to find fault with what we teach. And what I had a situation that just happened yesterday. We were speaking to an individual at the funeral. Older man. I remember when I was a boy and this man never was saved. But he was one of the old time saints' sons. I'm not calling any names because I don't want you to... You'll be able to track some things and I don't want you to do that. Plus, this might go on the internet. I sure don't want that to happen. But he was an old-time saint son, a good, solid person, right? And so his mother, I knew his mother. I didn't know his father had died before I was born, I guess. But anyway, I knew his mother, and she was just a good, solid saint. If I told you her name, you'd know her too. Well, he said somebody called him up, and they said to him, they said, you know what, the way Mom and Papa taught us, this is another person, it was wrong. And he said, and so I want to kind of express to you, and this is an older person too, both of them are older. When Mom and Papa taught us was wrong, and I want to express to you what they did. He said, wait a minute, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Now this man has gotten saved in his older years. When I was a boy, he wasn't saved. And so I don't know, in the last few years he's gotten saved, maybe the last 10 years or so, he said, you know what, Mom and Papa did the best that they knew how. Yeah. And he said, I'm confident that what they did... they did the best that they could, and this is the way that I want to go. Yeah. He said, now that you're going some other kind of direction, he said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I don't want to hear what you have to say either. Huh? He said, and I'm sure they're in heaven, and that's the way that I want to go. You know what? That's how I see it. That's how I see it. Don't let them tell you. And you know why? Because mom and papa hit the rock. Mom and papa showed them something. Maybe they didn't. Everything that they did was not. There could have been some adjustment, or I don't know. But they understood. Mom and papa, they made it to heaven. They lived right, and if they can do it, I can too, by the grace of God. And so you know what we do? We hit the rock too. The Lord shows us. He gives us understanding that this way. Now somebody, He said, why you wait till we get old to say this?
Yeah.
We're old, and it's time for us to. This has to be in his mid-70s at the least. He said, why are you waiting till we get old and you coming in here telling us this? I don't want to go any other way. This is the way that I'm going to go. You do what you want to do, but I'm going this way. And you know what? That's what I tell every one of us. And you know what that means to me? That means that man hit the rock. He said, I'm going to dig this foundation. And then when somebody comes and huffs and puffs and tries to blow the house down and tries to show you a different way, that something a little easier, something a little better than what you got, then you're not doing it. I'm not doing this because of mama and papa. I'm doing this because I saw mama and papa's life. And not only did I see mama and papa's life, but I'm seeing that it's working for me right now. It's keeping me like I need to be kept. And I won't go other way. And so the Lord shows us this, and our responsibility, saints, is that when the Lord, he said, he that doeth these sayings of mine, hear these sayings of mine, and they do them, I'll tell you who he's like. Every one of us is going to hear the sayings of the Lord. Every one of us is going to have the opportunity to have the oil, take some oil, or take a little lighter suitcase. Every one of us. Every one of us is going to have the opportunity to be a wise virgin or a foolish virgin. Every one of us is going to have the opportunity to be a wise master builder or a foolish one. And it's up to you as to what you do with it. May the Lord help you and me to understand that, Lord, I want to be a wise man, because you know what? There are going to be some that will come and try to shake my house and try to push it over. And you know what? It's founded on the rock and it's not going anywhere. I've had plenty of discussions with folks that want to tell me different things and how things need to be different. I'll tell you what. You prove it to me for the next 50 years and you show me the end result of the way that you're going, and then I'll follow it. All right? I'll follow it if it's better than what this Bible says. But you know what? You can't prove it. It's impossible. Saints, you have something precious. We all do. It's not popular. The Lord said it wouldn't be popular. It's not something that everybody is going to accept. They didn't accept it from Jesus. They ain't going to accept it from you. But you stand by it. You get your footing right. You dig down and become planted, rooted, and grounded in this. And the Lord will take you through. Every one of us, no matter what you come through, no matter what you come against, the Lord will take you through it. Let us stand.
Building on the sinking sand, are you going to the homes of pearl? No, in the far.